Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today.
That's why the details about the accident are so sketchy. Kennedy doesn't know what happened.
We need to talk about the Kennedy siblings.
Episode 21.
Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
The factor you have to consider is that Ted Kennedy did not want to be president. He was being crushed by a solar system of pressure, and everyone was expecting him to rise to the occasion. But he wasn't Jack. He wasn't Bobby. So every single day, he's going about his life, and this thing is just like at his heels, ready to swallow him whole. He knows he can't freaking live up to what people expect of him. He knows he can't live up to his legacy. He knows that if he gets in the freaking Oval Office, it is going to be the catastrophe of the century. And everything Jack and Bobby and Joe Sr. built and worked for is going to be laughed at and overshadowed by Ted's mistakes and Ted's screw up.
Well, also, he thinks he's about to be assassinated as well. So he thinks, I'm getting pressured so severely that if I don't run for president, I'm going to be the weakling and...
I will admit, I am a coward.
Yeah. He would have to look at himself...
as incompetent, incapable, and
that
pathetic.
That would disgust himself. He did not even want to admit that to himself. So, in the back of his mind, yeah, he's trying to figure out a way to get out of it whilst not having to admit the reality to himself, to his family, to the nation, to anyone. But also, he didn't even want Bobby running because he thought Bobby was going to get assassinated. He does. And Teddy is the only one who, out of the family and close friends, never, ever, ever changed his mind and thought, no, Bobby, you should run.
Never wanted him to run.
Even after he was running, Teddy was still not on board.
He was terrified.
So then his worst nightmare comes true. Now they all expect him, less than a year later, to be the next president or to run for the presidency later on. And he's like, I will do anything. I will go to prison. I am not about to get assassinated.
When you really think about it, it's like Marilyn. It's like
Jackie. It's like Marilyn. It doesn't make sense. Why would you throw your life down the toilet?
Why? Unless that was better than what you had previously.
Yeah, we're all assuming that there's a better option. And they're like, I have these two options.
We're all assuming that their life is better than humiliating themselves. And it wasn't. So one day, he sees an opportunity to write a confession and never be able to be president. Aw, darn. I accidentally drove off the side of a bridge, and now I can never be president. In our main episode, I told you the story, the one that Ted Kennedy told, the one that the U.S. court deemed truth. However, one of the police officers that worked the case has a theory that is very, very interesting. 50-something years later and 2 years of studying the Kennedys under our belt, the theory makes a lot of freaking sense. It makes a lot of freaking sense.
It only makes sense because the Kennedys do not make sense. The Kennedys are not normal.
So let me give you a quick little overbrief of the police officer's theory. I'm going to have to read it, but the ferry stops running at midnight. A police officer, as well as a neighbor, heard and or saw a car driving around frantically after 1 a.m. The next morning, there's a car in the pond. Ted Kennedy says he was driving around at 11:15 because that's the latest time he could drive and leave the cottage to go to the ferry and make it because it stopped running at midnight. If he admits to driving around at 1 a.m., then his whole ferry trip and going back to the hotel is not possible. So what the police officer is thinking is, he said, I saw a car with a man in the driver's seat and a small woman in the passenger seat. They were like kind of driving slowly around, and then I came up on them and they like sped off. He thinks maybe the reason that Ted didn't have any scratches or bumps or anything like that is because he jumped out of the car because he did not want the police officer to find Ted Kennedy, the senator and married man, in a car with a young woman late at night going nowhere because the ferry's already shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Very obvious what that is. So he jumps out of the car and says, you drive back to the cabin and I'll just say that I was taking a walk on the beach and I'll walk back to the cottage. And then Mary Jo, not knowing the area at all, it was not her car. It was a big car. It was probably set to Ted Kennedy's proportions, which his outsized frame could not fit in Bobby nor Jack's clothes. So she's driving this unfamiliar car in an unfamiliar area at night, drunk, panicking, and drives straight off a bridge into a pond. Then Ted, for the same reason that he got out of the car, could not say, yeah, she drove herself into the pond because I was out with her and didn't want to be caught, because nobody knew who JFK was, what he was like sexually,
right,
promiscuously at the time. Just like people didn't know what Marilyn's mental health was like at the time. We know all of this information in hindsight. So
we know it all in hindsight and we are absorbing it all through 2023.
Absolutely. Yes. Not understanding 1960.
No. Where culture. You don't talk about affairs like that. First of all. Second of all, they're all politicians and trying to be like clean family men, Catholic, trying to get people's votes, trying to look really good. So it's an even bigger deal.
Absolutely. And the Kennedy reputation is everything. And for Ted Kennedy to ruin his brother's legacy, his dad's legacy that they worked their whole lives to build and that so many people respected so much. And he knew, he was very aware of that. People will come up to him and tell him all the time what his family meant to them. So even after the fact, he's thinking, it would be better for me to say that I accidentally drove off a bridge and killed a girl than it would be for me to say that the Kennedys are not all that they're cracked up to be and I was in a compromising situation and didn't want to get caught. People didn't know about JFK's affairs and he wasn't prepared to expose a lot of how they grew up, you know?
Yeah.
And the character flaws that they had. So his story is, I was going to take her back to her hotel by taking her to the ferry. That's completely innocent. That's the only reason that you'd be driving around alone with Mary Jo Kopechne at night is if you were trying to make the ferry. But everyone who saw the car or heard the car that night said it was well after the ferry had already shut down and wasn't going anymore. It's also a little interesting that the chauffeur didn't take her. Nobody else took her. Nobody else was in the car. Nobody else wanted to go back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Out of all those people, like none of them were supposed to be sleeping there. So he has to explain, why am I alone in a car at night with this girl?
But it's like, okay, that looks really bad. Having a party with 5 single girls and 5 married men.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Already like,
yeah.
What more do you need to know?
I know.
Who cares if you're in a car together? You're in a house together.
Yeah.
That's just, it's obvious. So that doesn't really make sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, it's obvious to us, but no. I think that the culture back then, JFK was so protected by the media and by, like, it wasn't dinner table conversation that would happen. That was right. Really, really, if people affairs. Knew that, yeah, that would be really controversial.
But you don't think that in 69, this isn't freaking 59, this is 69, that if someone hears five single girls are partying in a house with five married men, was that how many there were?
Six and five.
What are they doing?
Ted could have believed that people wouldn't realize how it looked. Like, if an accident hadn't happened, nobody would have known about the party, really.
Right.
It wouldn't be in the media. So he wasn't worried about how that looked as much.
Right. Previously.
But I do.
But then when the accident happened, everyone's going to know about the party, no?
But I think being at the party is still, you're less culpable than going off alone with her. Not to take her back to her hotel, but to have sex. Like, there's no other explanation for you being in the car. Like, you could have, you can say, like, we were at the party, but we didn't do anything. But you can't be like, I drove her to have sex without saying, I drove her to have sex. Like, you have to come up with something else, which is the only thing there is the ferry.
Right. But, oh, because you're saying he has to be in the car. But I'm saying, just say you weren't in the car at all.
Yeah.
Not that you were driving to have sex, that you were just... She drove the car. You let her borrow your car. You stayed.
Maybe
host
because
the party.
He knew that some of the people at the party
would say he wasn't there. No, that I might believe.
Because they knew they left together.
But you don't think they were too drunk to realize that? Like, if they were too drunk to understand, hey, Ted came back here. Everyone, like, three out of the five men left.
But he is not in his right mind to think through all of that. He's just scared.
Yeah, maybe. That right there might be it. That might be it. He could have not been in the car.
Oh, I know.
His
like,
family?
Perfect opportunity for me to just skirt.
I mean, and how many times before have we thought about Joe Sr. was God?
Yeah.
Joe Sr. was the end all be all. Who cares what the ambassadors thought, the presidents thought, the Pope of the Catholic Church thought.
Uh-huh.
His family was scarier.
Yep.
More pressuring.
Mm-hmm. He had to get married when he wasn't ready.
Who cares about the law? Like, who cares about anything?
So he's like, the only way I can get out of being president is if it is impossible for me to, because nobody will vote for me. Like, I have to make myself unvotable to get out of this. Unelectable.
But is that the thing that you go to?
The theory in which Ted was not driving that car is very, very plausible. And that explains why he's not disheveled. He's not as shaken up as he should be. He doesn't feel guilty about not reporting it as much as he should. He doesn't.
But wouldn't you still feel so guilty because you're the one who like told her to drive
on?
And like you literally, if you were still driving, she wouldn't be dead.
And like he was shaken up. People do say like he seemed nervous and stuff. But Arena, the police chief, he's like, he was freaking calm about it. That's why I'm wondering, like, was he one step removed from the guilt and the feeling of responsibility because he wasn't in the car? He wasn't driving. She drove herself off the thing.
Or is there a way to where he could have found her hours and hours later? Like, to where there was like straight up nothing he could have done. So he might as well think about what to do.
I guess because the only people that saw the accident in the middle of the night were Joey and Markham.
And they could be lying.
And also, you don't need to say that you were driving the car. Like, you just don't. So if you're trying to get out of that situation,
you don't just repeat it. Yeah.
He's like, being overly, hey, make sure I was driving the car. I was, right? Remember, I was driving the car. It also kind of explains why he wouldn't have been able to be successful in rescuing her. Because why, if you just escaped from the car and got out to safety, why wouldn't you just get her out the exact same way you just got out? Unless she drove into the freaking pond. You don't even know. You're just walking along and it's been 15 minutes. And you just realize, oh my gosh, she's in the freaking bottom of the pond. You don't know how to get her out because you weren't down there.
Yeah.
And the police chief couldn't get her out. Joey and the Markham guy tried to get her out and couldn't. So like Ted, maybe, yeah, he did try to get her out, but he didn't get out of the car. So getting her out was like impossible, kind of, you know?
Yeah. It's not like someone had already done it. Like if he was in the car, he would have just also drowned.
Right.
which would have been crazy.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that just makes so much sense to me. Dude, you were never in the freaking car.
It does, but it doesn't. Just swim. It's just so
you
hard.
Didn't just swim out of the car and then that, nobody can rescue yeah. Mary Jo. Because you were never freaking in the car. You never.
But that is such a hard pill to swallow, that.
Definitely.
Like, I understand that, but I'm also like, it is so much better to be caught having an affair than it is to say that you
fled the scene of a car that you drove into the pond and left a girl there.
Yeah. Like, leaving someone to die seems so much worse.
But Ted was kind of an idiot.
Out with someone in the car.
You know, Ted was kind of stupid.
He definitely was kind of stupid, but also it's like the Kennedy name, like you're saying, like back then it really was. It was innocent. I was taking her to the ferry.
It was an accident, not I chose to be morally corrupt.
And you can't trust me and don't sign me up to do anything
where I have to have good judgment or good virtues.
Or character. Yeah. And also my whole family, that legacy that you thought that we had, it's not true.
He and would rather go down. He would rather just.
And if he also, yeah, if he already hates himself and he already is like done with his life, like he didn't want to die, but he
wanted to be done with the pressure.
Yeah. And the name and all of that.
Wanted to give it up. Yeah.
But he still admired and respected and loved what his brothers had done.
And his dad.
He's like, I can tank my own identity.
Right.
And my own name. But I'm not going to be responsible for taking my entire family's legacy away from them.
The virtues and the morals and the reputation, the honor that my family has earned. A mistake, an innocent mistake, an accident is better, even with jail time, than, oh, I'm actually like making really morally bad choices.
Right.
And he stuck to it.
He's also not totally out of the public eye. He's still senator.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's in the public eye.
Yeah. So.
And people are expecting him to be the next president. And they're telling him as much.
Maybe two. Okay, a reason not. I mean, I know nothing about true crime, really. So, I don't know. About like false confessions for normal people.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense to me. But also thinking of it in a Kennedy's point of view. In a Ted Kennedy's point of view, if he's subconsciously or consciously, everyone wants me to be president. I cannot be president. Right. I'm a fraud.
I will fail way more if I put myself in that position.
There's no way I can do it. He's like making himself a non-viable candidate by making himself a murderer.
Hence, Jackie's quote from last episode. Ted Kennedy, what was it? A tendency to self-sabotage. It's because he knows he will never live up to what people expect of him, and he believes that what he is not enough.
He's not Bobby. He's not Jack. Also, I'm thinking, like, you know how there's, Audrey was telling me about like crimes of opportunities. She listens to The Opportunist, also a podcast. And it's all these people that kind of like, they're on this path and then they see obviously an opportunity and then they just take it because either they have nothing else to risk, they have poor mental health, they, you know what I mean?
Or it's they're like their in way to such get out. A bad situation that they'll take anything to change their
the
life.
Path they're on.
Yes.
Yes. So before I really knew who Ted Kennedy was, I was thinking about the whole Chappaquiddick incident and just thinking like, you are just done with life.
Right.
Like you're just throwing your life down the crapper because you're done.
Mm-hmm.
All your brothers are dead. Your dad has had a stroke. Your mom is just like in autopilot mode and your sisters are really taken care of. Like you hate your life. You hate yourself. You're throwing it away.
Right.
But he really wasn't like that. He wasn't just so all in.
He never wanted to be who his family expected him to be.
He wanted a more low-key life.
Yeah.
You're a senator. You're a dad.
Mm-hmm.
A freaking fairly present, like wants to be there dad.
Dad and uncle.
He's not trying to throw his whole life away because
he tried to move to Arizona. And get away from everything. And Joe Sr. said, absolutely not.
So maybe this was an opportunity that fell in his lap. Or maybe it was just, he was kind of like already on this path and kind of like looking for ways.
Yeah. And like I think that like, if you feel so out of control and so like, if you're just drowning so much that you just want the pressure off, you want to have the control taken from you because you can't hold on to the wheel any longer.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter if it goes to crap. It's better than the pressure of I'm in control. Like, wreck the car. I don't care. I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was under that much pressure. At a certain point, you give up because you've tried so hard for so long.
But also under that much pressure with like that much heartbreak as well and grief. Yes. So he's like not at all in his right mind. It's right. Not like he was doing really well and then just couldn't live up to like what his brothers were doing.
Plus like, he's drinking because of that, because of how sad he is and because of how paranoid he is. I mean, he literally, there's like 10 quotes of Ted Kennedy being like, they're going to shoot me. And Jackie was terrified for her life, terrified for her kids' lives. They're Kennedys and they're killing Kennedys. My children are next. So it's just, you can't look at his confession through a lens of like, oh, this is an adult who obviously wouldn't want to confess to something if he didn't do it. Like mm-hmm. Arena, the police officer, is yeah. thinking.
Also, it's really, really smart to confess to something that
isn't like, so
it's
bad.
It's like not a bait and switch, but it's kind of like a trick of the hand. Like you do something with this hand so, to distract from the other hand. So it's like if there's something to distract from, this yeah. would be a perfect opportunity to distract with.
Exactly. So
and people are looking at I that and they're like,
I can't be president now. I screwed up. Not, I am too weak to be president. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And because of the culture of his family, of politics, of the era, of men, especially how his dad was. Appearance and reputation is everything. And even Jack had tendencies when he did some bad stuff to look strong and in control mm-hmm. and powerful. Joseph Sr., I'm pretty sure a lot of his sex stuff was just to look powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing you can do is look not powerful mm-hmm. to Ted Kennedy in his mind.
Yeah.
Not to be a criminal. That's not the worst thing. The worst thing would be to be weak and incapable.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
As far as the legal charges goes, a manslaughter charge was mandatory in Massachusetts in cases where a driver left the scene of a fatal accident if negligence was proved. He was not charged with manslaughter because they could not prove negligence. If you are drunk, it's automatically negligence and mm-hmm. you automatically
manslaughter.
Yeah, because you were making choices that would put another's life in danger and at risk. But since it had been 10 hours, they couldn't prove if he was drunk or not or at what limit. And because his story was just, I thought I turned onto a different road than it was, and I just accidentally drove off. That's not negligence. That's just an accident.
Yeah.
You weren't choosing to do any, like driving in the dark would be the most negligent thing that you would have been doing, and you're allowed to drive in the dark.
Yeah.
So they literally just charged him with not reporting an accident that he witnessed, not with driving the car of a person who died. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
he charged it like he was an observer of the accident. Not,
exactly. Yeah. Leaving the scene seemed clear enough for them to charge him with that because it had been, by his admission, like 10 hours. But Arena hesitated to pursue even that because he had actually lost a case in district court for very similar circumstances. And he just didn't have enough
resources to
because
push it.
The law is unclear. Quote,
the defense lawyer argued that the statute didn't say within what particular time period you had to report an accident.
And he technically reported it.
So it's not that they're just like trying to
let necessarily it cover it up because it's Kennedy. Ted Kennedy.
Yeah. It just is a really weird gray. I mean, our American government, our law is innocent until proven guilty. And yeah. it tries to protect.
Yeah. It's just if he didn't have the best lawyers available to an individual, he probably
may have pursued it.
Yeah.
But they didn't even pursue it.
I know, but I'm saying they knew what they were up against.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Arena's solicitous treatment of Ted Kennedy and his failure to interrogate the senator left him with a single piece of evidence. but one which was indispensable to the case. The senator's own statement. There was no presumption under Massachusetts law that the owner of an automobile involved in the accident was the driver. No statute commanded a passenger to report an accident. Had Kennedy denied knowledge of the event or said that Mary Jo Kopechne was driving the car, Arena would have no choice but to accept the story since there were no witnesses to the accident. So why, if he's trying to get away with this, would he have said anything?
It could have been so, so easy to just say, oh my gosh, I just woke up at my hotel, had no idea. I let her borrow my car last night because she wanted to get home, blah, blah, blah.
It's not as if he had like a freaking massive gash on his face or anything.
Yeah, anything.
No witnesses. Nobody's like, I'm telling if you're not.
Yeah.
The whole concussion thing is weird too. His determination of concussion was predicated, quote,
upon objective evidence of injury and the history of the temporary loss of consciousness and retrograde amnesia,
which was just by word of Ted. Like, he doesn't actually know that he went unconscious or forgot anything.
Right.
Impairment of judgment and confused behaviors are symptoms consistent with an injury of the character sustained by the patient.
Watt prescribed a sedative to relieve the headache, neck pain, and generalized soreness Senator Kennedy complained of. Then later, people are like, wait, you gave a sedative to a person with a concussion?
Yeah, that does not make sense.
Later, people pointed this out, and Watt said he'd been misquoted.
Oh. But I wouldn't say he didn't get a sedative.
What? Subsequently, Watt revealed he'd prescribed an oral muscle relaxant, heat and bed rest, and qualified his diagnosis.
Kennedy had sustained a mild concussion, was bruised and shaken up. He'd received a blow on the head, but he was all right.
So basically, Ted's like, hey, I hit my head and I got a concussion and I forgot everything and I can't remember. And the doctor's like, you okay. have a concussion.
Yeah.
Here's a sedative because you don't really have a concussion. But I wouldn't say he didn't have a concussion. I feel like, okay, whatever.
I feel like it would be impossible to not have a concussion after that accident.
Or why would you give him a sedative if he was in that car accident and there was any chance of him even having a concussion? That would be really
dangerous. But you think really that he would have told his doctor the truth?
I don't know.
Because even if Ted was lying about being in the car.
Maybe he didn't say I wasn't in the car, but the doctor can tell, like, there's not a scratch on you and I'm inventing things. So sure, if you want a sedative, you needed to calm down because you've got anxiety is what you've got. Okay. No?
Yeah, he was just a Kennedy doctor.
Yeah.
He was the Kennedy's doctor.
Other medical authorities found Watt's concussion diagnosis far-fetched and highly unlikely. Also, people pointed out that all of the symptoms that he complained of are identical to symptoms that you can get from being drunk and having a hangover. Okay. Now let's read verbatim what the certain theories from the police were, because there are some wild things to think about. I'm looking at you, Joey Gargan. The only people that saw the accident in the middle of the night were Joey and Markham.
Nobody actually knows when the accident happened.
Right. He's just reporting. Ted was like freaking out. How could this happen? How could this happen?
But does that sound, I just can't decide if that sounds more like I walked up on an accident where I just saw you alive. You were fine. You're in my car. This is bizarre. Like what?
Like I was just trying to get away from the police officer and now you're dead. How can that happen? Like yeah. I just told you to drive away. How can this happen?
How can you be dead upside down in a river right now? I never,
or
like, what in the world?
I was panicking. I drove off the bridge and now you're dead.
How could that have happened? So really, okay, Joey Gargan doesn't know, but he also kind of does. Did Ted Kennedy walk up completely soaked? Like, because I'm debating.
Let me scan.
Did he even jump in?
And make sure. I think
because he could have not been in the car, dove in after her.
Yeah.
When he found the car upside down. But he also would have had to have lights. Were there a lot of streetlights, I guess? Like, how can you even see the car upside down in the river or in the pond?
So then also later, Ted told them,
I'm going to say that Mary Jo was driving.
And Gargan said,
there's no way you can say that. You can be placed at the scene.
Wait, he said that word for word, I'm going to tell them that.
Yeah. Quote.
So that sounds he was driving.
He didn't say, like, I'm going to make up that Mary Jo was driving. You can still take it either way. Like, okay, I'm going to go with the story that she was, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say.
Oh, I'm going to say.
Like, I'm going to say she was driving. I'm just going to go with that. I'm just going to go with the truth. And
I'm not going to go with that.
I'm going to say it.
I'm going to confess she was driving.
I'm going to say that Mary Jo was driving.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them. Like, I'm going to tell them.
And then immediately Gargan is like, there's no way you can say that. I don't know. You could just take it either way.
No one will ever know what happened that day. Like, did he tell his second wife?
I don't know. That's interesting.
I feel like he wouldn't have. I feel like it literally that would just be the subject never discussed ever again.
Yeah, no.
And at that point, it's like, can he even remember the truth? Like, does he even know what actually happened?
Look, what the other police officer had seen a dark car between 12:40 a.m. and 12:45 a.m. That is a very specific window. 5 minutes.
Did he like look at the clock when he drove by?
Yeah. My gosh. Saturday morning, approaching the bend on Chappaquiddick Road at the center of the intersection of Dyke Road. Arena noted, quote,
he is positive that there was a man driving and that there was someone next to him. He thinks there may have been someone else in the back seat, but he's not sure. The car appeared unsure or lost. Look stopped and started to walk toward the car, but the driver sped off down Dyke Road.
So he had enough time to stop, get out of his car, start approaching the other car.
Yes, he's literally on foot walking toward the car.
The thing that bothered me about it was Huck was so adamant about his time.
This is Arena, the police chief, saying what Huck Look was telling him. He's like, I know for a fact between 12:40 and 12:45.
I did believe he saw this particular thing, but I was between a stone and a hard place because I couldn't disprove Kennedy's time.
Right.
Look, the police officer was interrogated by two detectives that day.
To see if his claim was true.
If that was Ted and Mary Jo, they were not going to the ferry. They weren't. And they were just like aimlessly driving. They looked lost or unsure. Look had worked as a special police officer at the Edgartown Yacht Club Regatta Dance from 8 o'clock until 12:30 on Friday night. Brought to Chappaquiddick in the yacht club's launch, Look got into his car, parked at the landing, and headed home. So then he noticed a car coming toward him near the curve at the intersection. Quote,
knowing the road, I slowed down because there's a sharp corner that people will usually cut too close,
Look said.
I wanted to make sure I didn't get sideswiped.
Look came almost to a complete stop. A black sedan passed in front of his headlights. Quote,
there was a man driving, a woman in the front seat, and either another person or some clothing, a sweater, or a pocketbook in the back seat. What appeared to be a shadow of some kind. The car went off the pavement into the private dirt cemetery road.
I want to pause right there. Because remember, Rosemary's wallet was in the car. So like, was it just in the car because she left it there when they drove to the cottage and she just like left her stuff in the car? Or was there a third person in the car and then she left her wallet? Her and Ted jumped out.
That doesn't make
sense. Like, were they trying to have a freaking threesome or something?
But why would two jump out and why would...
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, only Ted needed to jump out. The girls could have been in there together. Maybe because one of them panicked, or maybe because why would someone be driving and then she's in the backseat?
Or maybe three people are in the car. Mary Jo is not having as much fun as the other two. So they're like, we're going to go down to the beach. Mary's like, okay, well, I'm just going to go back to the park. She leaves them.
But the thing is, because of the police officer, they're like freaking out to get away, I think. I think it's less leisurely of a decision.
But it could have not been.
Could have been, yeah.
It could have been like, oh, because they could have been frantic to get away from the cop immediately right there. And then it freaked Mary Jo out. And Mary Jo was like, I'm just going to go back to the party. And the other two are like, come on, let's have fun. And she's like, okay, well, y'all can have fun. I'm taking the car back.
Oh, shoot.
And then she drove off by herself. The other two had fun on the beach, did whatever they wanted to do. Then as they're walking back, they see the car.
And then she's Ted able to just like, go back. And,
yeah, Ted's like, no one's ever going to know. It's my car.
I'm tied to it. You're not.
Yes.
Except her wallet was in the car.
By this time, Look had proceeded around the corner a little bit. He said, I observed in my... So he like passed them. And then he said, quote,
I observed in my rearview mirror that the car was parked and it looked like they were going to back up. I thought they wanted more information, that they were lost or something.
So it's like they saw the police car first, then they stopped. He saw in his rearview mirror, oh, they're stopped. Maybe they needed to talk to me. So then he gets out of his car, starts walking towards them, is then when it sped away. So look,
but he said that a guy was driving
originally before it stopped, before the car stopped.
Right.
I thought they wanted more information, that they were lost or something.
Look got out of his car and walked toward the other vehicle. He was 25 to 30 feet away when the car started backing up toward him, taillights showing all over the deputy sheriff uniform he was wearing. Look believed the driver must have seen him as the lights glanced off the badge and the whistle on his shirt. He started to call out and offer to help, but the car took off down Dyke Road in a cloud of dust. He observed a Massachusetts registration letter L, he said.
And I did sort of a photostatic thing in my mind that it had sevens in it at the beginning and the end.
So that was Ted's car.
Yeah.
He has an L and two sevens in his Massachusetts license plate. Look returned to his car a short distance from the intersection. He saw two women and a man doing a snake dance down the middle of the road like a conga line. He stopped to ask if they needed a lift. The tall girl of the trio said,
shove off, buddy. We're not pickups.
The man in the group apologized.
Thank you, no, he said. We're just going over there to our house.
Look mentioned the lost car to his wife when he got home at 1 o'clock.
I figured it was a man and his wife arguing about which direction to go. That's the first thing that came to my mind, he said. So many visitors come to Edgartown in the summer, you kind of get used to people getting lost.
So he literally was thinking it was so innocent. But the two girls and the man were other party attendees, and they talk about, yeah, we did. We went on a walk.
Okay.
Their timeline was super sketch as well. They prop up the fact that I think that Ted was lying about when they were driving around. Look wondered where the car was headed at that time of night. There weren't many places to go on Chappaquiddick once the ferry stopped running. Given without hesitation, guile, or calculation, Look's story was in clear contradiction of Senator Kennedy's report about the time the accident occurred and the wrong turn he'd said he'd made at the intersection. The other thing that people really have a problem with is why Ted Kennedy wouldn't have known that that road and that bridge was there, because he had grown up in this area. His family spends so much time on the water. He'd been to Chappaquiddick Island many times previously. Dot, dot, dot.
He had been to Chappaquiddick Island, specifically Chappaquiddick. Okay, so yeah, you know it's there.
If it was Kennedy's car, and every indication was that it was, to make a wrong turn, the driver would have to ignore, one, a directional arrow of aluminized glass pointing to the left, two, the banking of pavement to accommodate the sharp turn, three, the white line down the center of the road. To accomplish such a maneuver, a driver would also need to slow to a stop to make an abrupt 90-degree turn onto the unmistakable jarring ruts of Dyke Road.
I have gone two places one time and I can remember the layout, you know?
And you're also not just like flooring it, driving
that's
around.
That's what I was going to say.
That's
the thing that I'm confused about, because even, so they're both driving to get to the ferry. I mean, unless they're just like barely about to miss it and you're just flying.
But he didn't
you're like,
say
I have
that.
2 minutes.
Yeah. And that you would think maybe
either that you have to be running late to be driving your car at that speed in the dark in a place that you quote unquote don't know where you are. An emergency has to be happening, or
you're fleeing a police officer.
Yeah,
who's going to freaking see you sneaking off with a freaking senator and you don't know where you are.
So they could both be in the car and that could still be true.
Mm-hmm.
And he's driving frantically. He's also probably a little drunk.
Yeah.
Or if she is driving, Ted Kennedy sees the cop. He freaks out. He tells her, you drive the car down this way. I'm going to walk over here in like a panicked state. She's young. She also really looks up to the Kennedys.
Yeah.
She's also probably a little drunk. He's probably a little drunk. So they're just like extra freaking out. And she just also feels guilty because she just slept with a married man and doesn't want to be caught.
And so knows she flies his off wife.
And knows his wife. There's like a lot of layers of guilt. There's a lot of layers of panic that could be there for her. And she just flies off the bridge.
Because she is unfamiliar with the area, which would definitely be true.
Right.
The whole entire story that Ted told makes sense if Mary Jo was driving. It doesn't really make sense if Ted was driving.
The whole panic part?
The whole, I didn't know the bridge was there. I was just trying to get to the ferry. Because the way that people say to get to the ferry, you wouldn't have turned that way.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that in the map.
Uh-huh.
But if he's driving and he's not trying to get to the ferry, he's just trying to get away from the cop.
Yeah.
And we know he's stupid. He freaking laid down in the car trying to flee the cops another time.
Yeah. He's not making wise decisions, that's for sure. Dyke House was so close to the bridge, there's no way you could go down that road and not see that house. It stuck out like a sore thumb. Diagonally across the road from Dyke House, yet another residence was clearly visible from the road. Flynn had counted two more houses Senator Kennedy had passed when he'd returned to the cottage after plunging into the pond.
Yeah, he's saying, why did they not? He would have seen those houses. Why wouldn't you go to those houses and ask to call?
Exactly.
Cops, yeah.
It took Flynn and Killen, the two detectives, 23 minutes to walk the 1.2 miles from the bridge to the cottage where the party was. It just, a lot of it doesn't make sense to be some innocent. Like, Ted is lying about something.
But if there are two girls in the car with him, then that looks even more innocent because people aren't thinking,
yeah, you're going to go have a threesome.
Yeah, in a freaking car with these two boiler room girls.
I think it was just
the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Flynn put together a scenario for the accident.
I figure we got a drunk driver, Ted Kennedy. He's with this girl and he has it in his mind to go down to the beach and make love to her. He's probably driving too fast and misses the curve and goes into Cemetery Road. He's backing out when he sees this guy in uniform coming toward him. That's panic for the average driver who's been drinking. But here's a United States senator about to get tagged for driving under the influence. He doesn't want to get caught with a girl in his car on a deserted road late at night and driving drunk on top of it. In his mind, the most important thing is to get away from the situation. He doesn't wait around. He takes off down the road. He's probably looking in the rearview mirror to see if this cop is following him. He doesn't see the bridge, and bingo, he goes off. He gets out of the car. She doesn't. Poor guy doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, I want to get back to the house, to my friends, which is a common reaction. There are houses on Dyke Road. He could have gone to report the accident, but he doesn't want to because it's the same situation he was trying to get away from at the corner, which turned out to be minor compared to what happened later. But now there's been an accident and the girl's probably dead. All the more reason not to go banging on someone's door in the middle of the night and admit what he was doing. He doesn't want to reveal himself. The crowning irony was Teddy Kennedy was running from nothing. Huck, look, wouldn't have made an arrest even if he wanted to. He didn't have the authority. You're only a special police officer at the place you're assigned. Kennedy doesn't know that. All he knows is some guy in uniform is coming after him, and the funny part was, Huck was only trying to help him find his direction.
That's another theory, that it was Ted that drove off the bridge, but not going to the ferry, just trying to get away from being caught.
Yeah.
Marilyn Richards said,
we got invited to the compound on occasion for social things, but we weren't close.
The wife and the husband were sailing friends with Ted Kennedy.
Okay.
The Kennedys were fun and had a lot of glamour. We thought they belonged in Hollywood, not Washington.
So he is staying at the hotel that Ted Kennedy is also staying at. And they saw each other the morning after the accident happened. He didn't see him the night of, but he saw him the next morning.
Okay.
He had heard no disturbance from the senator's room on the night of the accident. Quote,
I happened to win the race and he congratulated me on it. And we discussed that back and forth, maybe 10, 15 minutes.
He had been in a sailing race that weekend and Ted was saying like, hey, good job, dude.
So they were just literally talking like nothing had happened.
Nothing. Stan Moore had also participated in the discussion. Richards had observed nothing out of the ordinary about the senator's speech or appearance. Kennedy hadn't mentioned the accident. Quote,
I remember the bell at 8 o'clock. We asked the senator if he would like to have breakfast with us. He said he couldn't, but he might join us later.
Kennedy had looked startled when Paul Markham and Joe Gargan showed up, quote,
soaking wet.
To the motel.
The three men then went into the senator's room. Richards heard an argument going on, quote,
"But as to what it was about, I don't know."
Quote,
"Are you thinking what I'm thinking?"
Dunn said. He's one of the investigators, the detectives.
"That Kennedy was finding out about the accident for the first time?"
Richard replied,
"It sure looked that way."
Oh, wait, what? Stan Moore said,
"Ross was making faces whenever the accident was mentioned. He knew something was going on."
Ross Richards, the sailing guy. Richards had refused to discuss how much Ted Kennedy had to drink at a victory party on his boat after the regatta race before the party at the cottage.
Okay.
Neither would Moore.
"We weren't going to be the ones to stick Ted Kennedy with a drunk driving charge if that's what the police were looking for,"
Moore said. When Killen came to his automobile agency to interrogate him, quote,
"The police asked me if the senator seemed nervous when I saw him on Saturday. All I can say is, he looked all right to me."
Kennedy had made some innocuous remarks, quote,
"Things like, what a beautiful day, and isn't this a lovely place?" He didn't mention Chappaquiddick at all.
Moore refused to talk about drinking. Quote,
"I was asked that question many, many times, but I have no comment,"
Moore said later.
"I didn't think it was anybody's business. Ted had three rum and cokes in about 20 minutes, but he wasn't laced or anything."
Isn't that nuts? If that's true, what? I had thought about that earlier because I was trying to figure out like how many different ways could you, as like a normal person, non-sociopath person, have a conscience and like not be shaken up whatsoever? Like, because Ted Kennedy is semi a normal person, right?
Correct. And why was he like, "I was driving the car"? You got that? "I was driving the car." What is it? What? Ted is trying to cover up for these fools? That doesn't make any sense.
Unless he doesn't
Unless
want the presidency.
Opportunistic. It was my car. I'll take the fall, guys. I don't care. What the crud. But then once he did that, why would Stephen Smith allow him to go on with it? Maybe Ted wouldn't tell him because he didn't want to be freaking president.
Well, that's what I was saying downstairs. It's almost as if he orchestrated it so he couldn't be saved from the consequences.
Because he had already gone public. He had already handed over a statement
to
the police.
He made sure that no one could convince him or
And that's why Markham let him say that. That's why Markham let him say that, because Markham was freaking guilty. That's why he wasn't being a good lawyer. And all the other lawyers are like, "Are you insane?" And Markham helped him write the report because it was for himself. What? Like, why else would Markham be there as an attorney? You're a freaking good attorney. You worked for the freaking, like, attorney general or something. Like, let's see who he was. My mind is exploding. Lawyer and former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts.
Yeah. Like, you know what you're doing.
You're a good lawyer. And even then, all you have to know is,
shut up. Stop talking. Even I know that.
Don't write
I
a
did
confession.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Why else would he let him say that? And Joe Gargan, how freaking willing he is to just be like, "I'll do an interview with you. I'll tell you freaking everything. I told him to go tell the police a million times. I was completely innocent drinking Coca-Cola. And I told Ted, he's a freaking idiot. Oh, Joe, he said like five times in here. He was just thinking, oh, old Joey will fix it."
What?
Like saying, like, "I've been so abused and used by Ted," and like,
that's weird.
But the two people who are like helping him confess, you know?
But then, okay, so if they were in the car or they were like, what would the scenario be there either? Like, that still doesn't make any sense. They showed up to the motel soaking wet
at 8 a.m. I mean, the wreck could have been at 6 a.m. and people were still sleeping, or at 5 a.m. We don't know when the wreck was.
Well, when did the fishermen go?
7:30.
And her body would already be that.
I don't know how soon rigor hard. Mortis. Look that up. When does rigor mortis set in? I think it's like 3 hours. And they rescued her out at like 8:30. So still, that would be like 5:30 in the morning.
2 hours after death.
2 hours. So it could be, she could have been alive up until like 6:30 in the morning.
But her whole, that's in your face.
Oh.
Progressed to the limbs over the next few hours, completing between 6 to 8 hours.
Completing.
Yeah. But like her, for her leg to be that cold, it had to have been at least 3 hours.
Yeah. But she could have died at 4:30 in the morning.
Even if she, yeah, if it was like 4 in the morning, that would still be 4 hours.
And that would explain more so why everyone was sleeping that hard that they couldn't hear it.
It was like in the middle of the night, not 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if, you would think if you hear a car crash,
but it's just into the water. But they heard it. They heard a car going really fast, like earlier in the night. But that, like, at from 11:15 to 11:45, somewhere in that window, they heard it, like, zoom past. But it couldn't have crashed then. Because if they heard it going quickly, they would have heard it splash into the water. Using Dunn's report, Dunn was the investigator or the detective that interviewed the two sailing buddies that said,
Joey Garkin. Yeah, come in soaking wet at 8 a.m. and sound like Ted Kennedy. Didn't have any idea about what was going on.
Absolutely. So Flynn used that guy's report, Dunn's report, to put together a revised scenario of probable events that he'd put together after visiting Chappaquiddick with Huck Look. Huck Look is the guy who saw the car that like backed up and then sped off.
Okay.
The new scenario went like this. After fleeing from his encounter with the deputy sheriff down Dyke Road, Kennedy had decided not to chance getting arrested for drunk driving. Flynn suggested, quote,
"So he pulled over, he got out of the car, and tells the girl to go down to the end of the road and come back to pick him up when the coast is clear. When she didn't show up, he thought she was stuck in the sand on the beach or got lost. He figures, well, I'll go back to the cottage. He tells Gargan and Markham what happened, and he asks to be taken to the landing. When he gets there, the ferry's closed down. He thinks, what the hell, I'll go back to the other side."
They're saying he didn't know an accident happened at all at this point. She's just missing.
And he thinks she's saying, like, stuck in the sand on the beach, like she was driving where she shouldn't have been driving and got stuck. Or
and so he decides,
got lost.
And so he decides to jump in the water?
No. So he says, I'll go back to the cottage. He tells Gargan and Markham what happened. And then asks, so he goes back to the cottage like we all think. He tells them that she's lost and asks them to drive him back to the landing because he's on foot. So he's not going to go freaking walking all over the freaking island looking for her on foot.
Yeah.
When he gets there, the ferry is closed down. He thinks, what the hell? I'll go back to the other side. Dives in and swims across. So leaves her on the island. Lost. With his car. But he doesn't think she's dead.
So he swims in the middle of the night? I don't understand that at all.
That's the theory that's like in every theory that the ferry was closed down. So he just swam the 150 yards across the channel to get to the other side.
That's just insane to me.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Like what? Who does that? In the middle of the night, you could die.
And on top of that, you're drunk.
And then his friends just let him.
The people at the party hung around the cottage waiting for Mary Jo to come back with Kennedy's car. When they realized she's missing, they go looking for her. That's why everybody spent the night out there.
So it's not that Joe Gargan goes back and just like pretends everything's fine and tries to cover it up. It's that everyone was looking for her all night. I don't think this is an amazing theory. Because none of the other girls say, yeah, we were literally looking for her all night. Like, no.
But do you think they would? These are like the most devout
I know,
Kennedy.
But why would they cover that? Why? This is so much less culpable. Like, you literally tried. You were looking for her.
Yeah.
And she drove off the thing by herself. She did it.
Yeah.
Why would that be a lie?
I don't know.
You know, why would you cover that up? So when they realize she's missing, they go looking for her. That's why everyone spent the night out there.
It wasn't until morning Gargan and Markham spotted the car in the pond. They dive in to see if Mary Jo's in it, but they can't see anything. So they get on the ferry soaking wet and run like hell to the Shiretown Inn to tell Ted what happened. That's the first time he heard about the accident.
Flynn, based on his theory, quote,
on the fact that a man like Ted Kennedy, or any man except for a hardened criminal, could go through the experience of driving off a bridge and not report the accident if he knew that a girl was still in the car. I just can't believe Kennedy went to sleep, got up the next morning, and was standing on the deck, supposedly prepared to go yachting, talking to some people about the weather like nothing was going to happen if he knew the girl was dead. You'd stay in your damn hotel room. You'd be biting your fingernails trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? You'd expect to be locked up any minute, and you'd be frightened.
Unless you're a psychopath. That's what I'm saying. Like, earlier I couldn't figure out how you have that reaction at all unless you're either A, a sociopath or psychopath, or B,
your nerves are so shot that none of your alarm bells are going off.
Yeah, you're like in a zombie-like traumatic
state. Which could be because your two brothers were just assassinated and you're afraid that you might be.
Yeah, you're like bordering on a psychotic break. Like, mm-hmm, you're in an episode of...
But then why, if Joe Gargan and Paul Markham knew she was down there, why did they go to sleep? So they're all in a state of shock, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's just...
As Flynn visualized the scene, quote,
Kennedy's talking to these people when Gargan and Markham show up. And I think he received the information like, Ted, the car's in the water. And he gets this startled look. Then the three of them go into his room to discuss it. When they come out, Kennedy is shaken. This reaffirms my suspicion that this is the first time he knows the girl didn't make it back to the cottage. Kennedy's first impulse was to go to the scene of the accident to see for himself what had happened. There was no reason whatsoever for him to go to Chappaquiddick if he knew about the accident. What's he going to do? Look at the body and say, oh my God, she did stay in the car. She didn't get out?
Flynn could only surmise why Kennedy had given an altogether different version of the accident in his police report. Quote,
not unless somebody said to him, we can make you look like a hero. You dove in. You tried to save her. You expended all your energy. He might have gone for that. That sounds pretty damn good.
Everybody thought it was only a minor automobile accident. They didn't realize how it would mushroom.
All they wanted to do was protect him from an embarrassing situation, being drunk in a car with a girl late at night parked on the road to the cemetery,
Flynn said.
Kennedy could have been there for an hour and a half getting laid, or gone someplace else after he left the cottage. That would account for the time difference with Huck, look, seeing the car. If anything happened, it didn't happen at the beach. It had already happened. Kennedy's finished, and now he's ready to run.
I don't understand.
What? No.
Once he made the police report, Kennedy was stuck with the story. Later, he had to compound the lie by elaborating on it in his television speech.
Flynn said, quote,
Ted Kennedy wasn't in the car when it went off the bridge, in my opinion. He never would have gotten out alive.
That is exactly my problem with the whole freaking reported story. Other than the fact that everyone on both sides, on all sides, knows he is lying about something. To some extent and capacity, he is hiding the truth.
Yeah.
And how the heck would he get out of the car?
That's what
alive?
I don't understand. But I also don't understand why the windows busted open and the diver could go in and literally pull her out without breaking the car at all. Like, where did that hole come from?
Exactly. I think she drove into the water, the window busted, she was knocked unconscious. And I don't know, though, because they said that she's like holding herself up to breathe. Yeah.
But like you said, maybe she got stuck.
Yeah. Maybe she like was holding herself up to breathe because her foot was stuck.
Yeah.
Or something. Or
she just panicked and she didn't even realize. Like,
but if the window is wide open, then water would be gushing in.
Maybe she couldn't get out. Like, it was like too quick of a current.
Or the window busted later.
I do not see why he would be confessing to it if it wasn't either A, his fault, or B, going to help. Confessing to it would help him in some way, shape, or form.
For sure, yeah.
It's not like he's some noble. He's not Bobby. He's not going to like take the fall for someone else's.
Even Bobby would not do that.
I think he would. Depends on who it is, but I think he would. For Jack, absolutely. He would have.
Okay, maybe for Jack. But Jack's not going to get himself into that stupid of a freaking situation.
No, but if he did, Bobby would take the fall for it.
But if he did, Jack wouldn't be who he was, and then Bobby wouldn't. You know?
That's not necessarily
true. Like, I don't think that Bobby would have taken the fall for Ted. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But because the person who would do this isn't the person that Bobby would die for.
Yeah, okay. That's true. But he's not some saint of a guy or just like a pushover and in the way that you would just take the fall for someone, for something that you didn't do and it wrecked your whole life. He's not.
But did it wreck his whole life?
That's what I'm saying. So it has to be B, which I think it hands down has to be because of how he handled it. I don't know if he was in the car or not. All I know is obviously we don't know the truth. Like, he for sure is hiding something. He's lying about something. And it sounds like all the people around him are also lying.
Yeah.
And where are these girls? Where's their testimony about what happened and the other guys?
There was like one girl who spoke out about it.
You would think that they would have to have more.
And she didn't say much. She was just like, we didn't really pay attention to what time it was. I knew that they left together, but I didn't notice that they didn't come back. Like, she didn't say like anything.
So that's weird to me as well. But what seems the most likely to me is that, because there's two things I know about Ted Kennedy. A, he makes bad decisions. B, he self-sabotages constantly. But also, I don't think he's such an idiot to where he doesn't know to just call the lawyer immediately, call someone.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Immediately. If you're trying to get out of it, if you are literally like, oh my gosh, I just was a part of this and I don't want it tied to me whatsoever, or I want to minimize the damage as much as possible, you are not being that neglectful of how you take care of it. Signing the dotted line, I did it, handing it over, and then being like, wait, let me check with my lawyer. To make it look like I tried. No.
Yeah, no.
He knew what that was going to do.
For sure.
He's not an idiot. I feel like because sometimes we paint him to be an idiot and he just wasn't.
He fixed the situation. He fixed his life.
So if he did not want to be president, if that was his biggest... Because, yeah, self-destruct mode 24/7 with Ted. He was wanting to do that. That was his MO. And he absolutely did not want to be president, and everyone was wanting him to be president.
And he was, that's the main thing he was thinking about that was on his mind every moment of every day. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'll fix this to where like 5 years down the road, I don't have to be president. No, no, no. It was like everywhere he went, people were saying, hi,
future president.
Like, oh, I can't wait till you're president. All his whole family. It was a constant thing in his life every single day.
The thing that is the most suspicious, but also what the public had the most issue with, was how it was handled, not what actually happened. No matter if Ted was in the car, if Ted wasn't in the car, if Ted was sleeping with someone, partying too hard, drunk driving, all of that, they would have absolutely forgiven him for that.
Mm-hmm.
He made it such a big issue with how he handled it afterwards, even though he had 10 hours to figure out what to do about it. And he still orchestrated it to where he confesses to it multiple times to multiple different people.
And
before
then
he calls his
advisors.
Yeah, his
advisors.
And
then has like 15 to 20 of them descend upon Hyannisport.
The
aftermath of it made him look so much more guilty than what the charges were against him.
No matter what he would have done.
No matter what had happened.
What had happened.
The other thing that makes no freaking sense to me, like, no matter what, I don't understand how a former U.S. Massachusetts attorney can be in that room with him and then write that statement with Ted Kennedy. and let him turn it in.
That that's a good idea.
And he, there's no way he thought this is good for Ted Kennedy. It was either what Ted wanted and he wouldn't allow anything else to be considered, or it was good for Markham. It was good for the attorney because it was he was involved and not Ted. And Ted was like, I don't freaking care. I don't want to be president. I'll take the fall for it. It was my car. You guys get out. Kind of like the Mary Jo thing. Or not the Mary Jo thing. Kind of like the Rosemary thing. If she had been in the car. You're not tied to it. I already am. You can get out of it. I can't. Whatever. And I don't know. I just feel like it just makes no sense that you are incapable of realizing that that statement is
damaging.
Like not a good choice. Like you just don't confess like that. You just don't.
No, even little kids know. Don't freaking confess to things.
Yeah, like
why?
Exactly. I want to think more about the Markham guy because there's something there that's like a huge clue that an attorney would have helped him.
Sat in the room with him.
Write that. Not even sat in the room with him. Literally
fully wrote it. Yeah.
Wrote it. And all of Ted's other attorneys were like, are you kidding? I would have said, are you kidding? So Killen, one of the other detectives, tested Flynn's theory on Frank Keating with variations of his own.
When Kennedy drove to the intersection, he'd gone straight into Cemetery Road. That was deliberate. Kennedy wasn't confused. He did that when he saw Look pass in his car. And I suppose he said to the girl, that cop recognized me. I'm getting out. You drive back to the cottage. I'll walk. Mary Jo had driven off. Instead of going straight, she'd taken the wrong turn down Dyke Road.
Killen said.
That's why the details about the accident are so sketchy. Kennedy doesn't know what happened.
So all these detectives, it's more than just one police officer. All these detectives are like, it is very possible that Ted was not in that car. That's crazy.
I wish we would know more about the car accident to like, is it even in the realm of possibility that he was in the car is more the
and
question.
Got out. I know. And only one person, that scuba diver, is the only one who like really saw the crime scene before they pulled her out and then they started dragging the car out. Yeah, that's a very, very, very massive question. I just don't understand. I mean, is it possible? Of course. Right. It's possible that he was able to get out and then just didn't get her out. But with how easily she was pulled out of that car, like you said, like you just
walked away.
Or just like absolute shock for real. And so drunk that I don't even know. Like,
but he would have saved himself first. I could so see that. He forgets about her. He swims to the surface. Yeah. He realizes, oh my gosh, okay, I'm alive. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm strong enough. Like I'm not hurt. I can go back in and get her. And then he just can't get her out. Like she's stuck. And then the whole event is so tragic because you're literally like, you know, you saved yourself first. Then you go back in and she's alive still and you're trying to pull her out and then you can't. So then you just keep swimming to the surface. Then you go back in. Then you swim to the surface.
Like, but then why wait 10 hours to report it?
Because you're what so Arena, traumatized and you're like, I screwed up.
That's what Arena couldn't figure out. I mean, that's the story. That's Ted's story. But the way that he would be, the way that he would dodge questions, the way that he would like not talk about it.
He's
and,
definitely hiding something. But like, what is it?
So exactly. So if that's the story, then there's nothing to hide. There's no more to know. Unless he's just hiding the fact that they weren't going to the ferry and the timing is off. But I feel like there's more than that.
But what would have had to have happened that he, where his testimony is like really close to the truth, but like one, you know, one
just that
thing
they were
off.
Gonna, that they went skinny dipping and had
no,
sex.
No, but something better than that.
Something better than that?
Like, is she, like what?
The fact that he's a freaking coward and was hiding from the police behind the bushes and she drove herself off the freaking dock.
Yeah, like that's,
you know,
mortifying.
Like I was laying back
like
in the,
maybe
in the
was,
driver's
yeah.
seat hiding
like
from the
you're
police.
An embarrassment.
I was driving the car. I was, you got that right? I was driving the car. No, you weren't, dude. You were literally running.
Maybe he watched her. Literally, he watched her drown and was so panicked.
And paralyzed.
And was like, oh my gosh, I literally just watched her and I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that could be.
And maybe he's thinking too, that cop is literally like 2 minutes down the road. If he circles back around and I'm in the water trying to freaking save this girl, clearly I was unsure. Yeah. He was freaked out because he thought he was about to get caught still. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do I get caught and try to save this girl or do I stay hidden?
I could see him being like, oh, she's clearly already dead. Like, there's no point in going in. Like, she's dead. You know what I mean? Like, telling yourself, there's no point. You don't need to go in the water.
Yeah, or just being in straight up shock. Like, that did not just happen.
I know he kept saying that. How could this have happened? I can't believe this happened.
Like, think about that. If you watch that car fly off, flip.
If that was the truth.
It would take 10 hours to freaking come back to Earth after witnessing something like that, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So if he literally tells her, go drive this way, she literally dies right in front of his eyes. He stands there for a while, panicked. Do I go save her? Is the cop coming back? I'm just frozen here for like an hour. Then he decides to dive in after her after the cop doesn't come back around.
Yeah, it could be.
Tries to freaking do that. Then he goes and gets Gargan and Markham. They come back. That takes a long time.
Then Markham swim over let him the thing. Write that freaking statement. I don't understand.
Because he's his friend and Ted was like, let me take the fall for this. Let me get out of the presidency.
I don't think as an attorney, I just do not think he would have allowed him to do that. Attorneys are literally, that's part of their job is to be like, dude, you don't know. You're freaking out. I'm the professional here. Shut up. Like, no. He wrote it for him.
So you think that the Markham guy has to be guilty? What if Markham was with him? He was the third guy in the backseat or he was the third person in the backseat.
Could be. Do we know? What do we think about the sailing buddies seeing Joey Gargan and Paul Markham come like walking in there at 8 a.m. soaking wet? Do we believe that? Oh my gosh, guess what?
What?
Another thing that adds to the theory that Ted Kennedy was not in that car when it went under. His driver's license was tested to see if it had any saltwater damage and it had none. And Bethany was like, wait, I didn't think he had his license. He didn't have his license when he went into the police station to report the accident.
Which is also freaking weird because if you're going to a police station, like why? The number one thing you would take was your ID.
Yeah.
Would be your ID. Unless he was just that much of a prick and thought, I'm Ted Kennedy. Everyone knows that. Why do you need my ID?
I could see that happening. I can see that too.
Our dad's money men will come back later. I just don't think that he would be in that much shock for that long. I don't think that he would let his attorney or he wouldn't call multiple attorneys. I just don't think that he's that stupid.
The thing, it just stinks. Something's fishy.
He was following through with his plan. He came in
with
to the interview.
The agenda.
With the agenda. Like he knew end game. This is how I'm doing
really,
it.
Really, the police chief was like getting drug along and being
on Ted's straight.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't think Ted would have called the chief police up with having had 10 hours or however many hours of buffer without a plan. Like he had a plan in place and his plan was to confess.
Yes. Yes. Because all he had to do was not say anything. That's all he had to do.
Or call Jackie, call Ethel, call Helga, call your mother, call one of your attorneys, call your doctor. I don't care who you call. Call someone and they will call up all your other advisors. And within those 10 hours, we can have a freaking good game plan to make sure that you never even face any
absolutely
sort of consequence.
Like
for this.
It really was not hard to get out of.
Not hard.
Out at all.
You call someone.
Like, Ted literally harnessed this situation, this opportunity.
That's what I'm saying. The way that he reacted to
pushed
it.
Pushed the go button.
Tells me that he wanted it to go down this way. He wanted to take the blame for it. Why?
And he wasn't confessing to murder, to first degree murder. He was not. He was confessing to
Yeah, he took the 10 hours to weigh his, these are the different scenarios that could happen if I confess to this. None of them end in me going to prison. Exactly. All of them end in me still being able to be president. Someone pick the one.
No, not president, senator, but not president.
Senator, but not president. But I'm saying getting out of it totally and then him still.
Yeah.
His life path would just keep going.
Right.
He did not want his life path to keep going.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
So he picked the one option that made sure
that it did alter his life plan.
Just enough.
Just so you make, I was driving the car. You got that? I was driving the car.
I know you didn't ask this, but for the third time, can you repeat to me who was driving the car? Ted Kennedy was driving the car.
Like, that sounds like someone who wasn't driving the car.
The time is just the A number one thing that is just like, you were doing something for those 10 hours. You were not going to sleep. And then you just wake up and you're like, I have to confess.
Dude, the fact that if you did go to sleep, then that's concerning.
Yeah. He spent those 10 hours doing something and he didn't call anyone. So you had to have been concocting a plan and that necessitated no one else knowing yet. All in all, no one.
The timing is for sure not right. Like all the other factors, witnesses, like everything says that they were out at least an hour later than he's reporting.
But also now that I'm thinking about it, okay, so he hands over because the cop was like, the only evidence I got was the confession, right? Mm-hmm. There's no actual proof of anything
right.
other than the evidence of the car wreck and her death.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Kopechne's death. The confession, could that have not been like, were they just thinking, oh, this looks worse if we retract the confession and say, never mind, he was lying, he was out of his mind. Like that just looks way worse if you're just crazy and you come up with this thing, or if you're a liar, is that worse than saying,
yeah,
than what was on the confession?
Sticking to it.
Yeah. So like all of his advisors that were like, you shouldn't have freaking confessed that. Well, it's too late now.
Why would he retract it? Because it wasn't true?
Because everyone around him. Because I was thinking he made it so that he had handed over the confession before he got any of his advisors
advice. An attorney in the room.
That was also his friend.
Who cares if you're a friend or not? You're still a freaking qualified attorney.
Yeah, you're either guilty of something or...
Because also your reputation is on the line. Everyone's going to know.
You were in the room.
You wrote that.
Yeah.
Your handwriting.
Yeah, that's still I am unsettled with. I don't know what in the world he was thinking. But what I'm saying is there was still a way for him to get out of it. Why did he continue on with like coming from Stephen Smith's point of view and like all these other people's point of view? You either A, stick with it because that's a better story than the one that the truth is, or it looks worse retracting it and coming up with something else.
Yeah.
Just that whole charade looks really bad.
I think the less you say, the better.
You just leave it with the statement and
you didn't confess to first degree murder. At that point, maybe you retract it, but
yeah. They didn't have any evidence, so maybe they dove in to like get alcohol bottles. I don't freaking know.
I don't think they were that skilled of swimmers to be able to get in there, get stuff out.
So then why were they wet?
From trying to rescue her or from freaking being in the car accident themselves and getting out. I think they weren't. I don't think that they were in the car. I think that they went in to try to save her at that point. Whether Ted Kennedy knew about it or not, I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think that. I think Mary Jo was alone in the car when she went down. Police had no hope of questioning Gargan or anybody else who had attended the party. Flynn said,
everyone was represented by counsel. Once somebody gets a lawyer, you can't go to them and say, I want to question you. You have to go to the attorney.
It was rare in Flynn's experience that a witness hired a lawyer. Rarer still was the district attorney's office writing letters asking witnesses to talk to police. So this is like weird. Like, you know, like you're saying, where are all the other girls' testimonies? Yeah. Did something really bad happen to her? Involving a lot more people than just Ted Kennedy?
Well, that's why I was wondering why no one would speak up. Like, how could you keep that many people quiet? It's like everyone was an accomplice of something and they felt guilty.
Yes.
And so they just shut up. Or they were just that insanely loyal to the Kennedys. But I just don't see that someone would, because yeah, you can be insanely loyal, but like also be cracked by the cops, like,
and self-preservation.
Like, and something just not adding up, but everyone keeps completely quiet and it's your friend.
Armin Fernandez confirmed.
The letters we sent to the people involved received uniform answers that under Miranda, they refused to talk to police.
Like, they were locked down. Locked.
But like, did they just receive a ton of money from the Kennedys? Like, what?
Maybe. But what are they hiding? If Ted told.
Right.
What are they hiding? And Ted was freaking locked down about it for a long time, too. He said in an interview one time, like, as senator, I haven't been asked a new question about Chappaquiddick in 10 years. Like, the way that he talked about it is just not like, I hate that I was involved in that. Yeah,
it's like a very cold.
Yes.
Response. Well, and even that he called her parents. That would not be my first instinct to call someone's parents, like an adult, obviously a kid.
I would be horrified. I would be putting that off as long as possible.
I wouldn't do it. I would be like, the cops, the hospital, like someone else can do that. I would
feel so much terror and shame.
And just like, this isn't appropriate. The person who did it should not be
right
calling the parents to let them know that their daughter is dead.
Oh, well, yeah, the first person. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe to apologize later, but.
Yes, later, after they've had a second to like let it sink in.
Yeah.
And to explain what had happened.
There are so many theories, and the way that Ted handled it is really what, quote unquote, ruined his chances at presidency.
He fixed it so that he would never be able to run for office.
And nobody could argue him into it. Nobody could talk him into it. Nobody could pressure him into it. It was literally impossible because he wouldn't be elected.
Nobody, yeah.
It's the one way to get out of being a candidate. Soil your reputation. That's all you have to do.
And it wasn't outside of the realm of what people kind of already knew about him in his circle and right. The people who he cared about.
And he had already wanted to move away to Arizona. His dad said no.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to get out of it in, like, logical, rational ways.
And did that happen and he wasn't in the car and then he saw the opportunity and took it there? Or was he in the car? He, like, dives in after her. He's at first panicking. The first thing that comes to mind is, oh, my gosh, the presidency. And then he thinks, oh, my gosh, the presidency. You know, at first he's thinking, oh, crap, and everyone else's point of view. And then he's thinking, oh, heck yeah, this is
because
perfect.
He's Ted Kennedy. That is what his first thought is. It's not you. It is not me. It is not, oh, my gosh, what are people going to think about me?
It's the heir to the royal throne.
Yes. So one day he sees an opportunity to write a confession and never be able to be president.
Join us here next week to hear all about November 22nd, 1963, that fateful trip to Dallas, Texas.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day-to-day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.